This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 a.m. You're with Julian and Joyce. And now it's time to look at the global markets. We have on the line Jeff Howie, market strategist with the Singapore Exchange. Good morning, Jeff, and thanks for joining us. Total buybacks in Singapore in 2018 rose about three times from a year earlier. Jeff, in your opinion, what does this mean about the kinds of opportunities that exist in the Singapore market?
Good morning, Julian and Joyce. Obviously we're in interesting times, and last year we saw our share buyback consideration for all our primary listed stocks a little over $1.5 billion, and that was with exactly 100 stocks conducting that buybacks, and the total amount was up around three times of the 2017 amount, which was $430 million. And I make that point because it's important. The key difference was that in 2018, the STI generated a decline of around 6.5% in terms of total returns versus a very strong 22% total return back in 2017. Hence, there was that, I guess, general buying back or buying more when the share prices are lower effect. And that played out very much in the course of the year. It's exemplified, if you will, by looking at our largest capitalized listed bank. It did not conduct any buybacks back in 2017 when we saw those strong stock market gains, and did not recommence buying back its shares in 2018, back when its stock was up near its $30 highs in the first half of 2018. Rather, it basically conducted its buybacks in the second half, kicking off in July when its share price had declined back to the low $25 mark. So while globally 2018 was a record year for share buybacks, I think there was a number of reports coming out from the U.S. towards the end of 2018 noting that buybacks in the U.S. had crossed the $1 trillion mark for the first time in a calendar year. While we did see that, you still can't get too carried away. I mean, you look at our buybacks, as we said, it was around $1.5 billion for 2018, and it was basically composed of 80% of that was STI companies, STI stocks. And if you look at the buyback amount that they basically, in consideration that they bought back, it only represented just 0.5% of the combined market capitalization or market value of those STI stocks.
Jeff, just as a follow-up question on that, a basic question, what do you think would happen to all these shares in future years? Would they come up and give some overhang, a stock overhang to the market, and therefore cap the upsides of some of these stocks?
No, not in buybacks. I mean, share buyback transactions, that they just simply involve the issuers or the companies just repurchasing back some of their outstanding shares from the shareholders and in the open market, hence it's reported at the end of the day. And once those shares are bought back, the general expectation is they are converted into treasury shares, and it means they no longer categorise the shares outstanding. So I wouldn't see that overhang as an issue, but you know, I think, I guess, in terms of motivations for those companies, you know, basically the general rule is that companies just move to better align their stock valuations with their balance sheet objectives and shore up some spare cash.
Jeff, the STI is generating annualized total return of 9.2% since 2008. What's the outlook for 2019 and, say, for the next 10 years?
For those 10 years ending 2018, the STI, as we said, generated those 9% annualized total returns. That was around one-fifth higher than the regional APAC benchmark, and it was pretty much in line with the region. Our Southeast Asian ASEAN region was one of the strongest across Asia. Now, going forward, looking backward, global growth has been the key driver and will continue to be the key driver. You know, following the crisis of 08, economic growth taking a big dip across the world in 09, recovering in 2010. Since then, global growth has pretty much kept above 2.5% every year. Times have really changed. So what we saw in the last 10 years is going to be very different to the next 10 years. Over the past 10 years, big market drivers were, of course, remember the central banks being expansionary, extraordinary monetary policy to stimulate economic growth. That was the big theme of the day. But now with the current state of play, it's really all about political leaders who are reassessing their international paradigms, and particularly with regard to trade-related growth. But I guess looking back a bit further, going back to April 2002 when our STI first became investable, the returns were, I guess, a little bit lower, around 6% on an annualised basis, generating total returns of 6% on an annualised basis. But I think looking forward, much will really depend on the sub-drivers of global growth. And we did see this play out a bit somewhat towards the back end of last year as well. In September, Malaysia's primary industry minister, Teresa Kok, remember she stated the rubber industry is expected to become the number one commodity contributor to Malaysia's economy. And here in Singapore, we do list multiple stocks with rubber focus, but in both manufacturing and distribution sides of the stream. And two of our rubber plays, if you will, a China-based specialty rubber chemicals producer, and, of course, our secondary listing of Top Glove Corporation, they were amongst our 20 best-performing stocks last year. So, as I say, the growth paradigm's a little bit different, so much will depend on a little bit more granularity beyond the big headline growth numbers, and we really got to look into individual countries, regions, and look at the sub-drivers of global growth.
Jeff, actually 9.2% per annum over the last 2008, very impressive, especially when you consider it from the context of the Sing dollar, which is quite which is strong and stable, and especially when you just compare that with the Malaysian returns, where the currency has been really very rocky over the last few years. Going forward, how would the defensive sectors and especially the dividend yields in Singapore play into this kind of returns?
Well, I think the outlook is obviously different, and there's a different dynamic playing out in the market with what's basically been driving growth and driving markets. I think the key carryover theme going into this year is more volatility, obviously. So that's where when investors look at volatility, they look at potentially more defensive sectors, and as you say, dividend yields and all sorts of valuations can come onto the radar when volatility can push markets too far on the downside or too far on the upside. But this volatility is in the market now. It's obviously in the market now, and hence there's more relevance for active portfolio management and much shorter term timeframes for trading, and that's particularly with Brexit coming up on the horizon as well. I guess what might exemplify this point I'm trying to make with what you've asked is, if you go back way back to 2017, our STI's best performing stock in that year was one of China's largest shipbuilders, and that stock returned 86%. And then back last year, the stock gave back 1/8 of those 2017 gains. And more to the point, it generated throughout the course of last year the biggest average daily trading ranges of all the STI stocks. In terms of basis points, this stock would swing around 3% a day between the high and the low on average. Hence, we were looking at more tradable market in 2018 versus that strong investable return back in 2017. But from a sector perspective, there's also some interesting developments. There are a number of, key themes for our region that are bringing together a number of sectors, such as urbanisation, the environment plays, and not to mention consumer health and technology. Those three key sectors are seeming to come together to form a big mega sector as well, and it has a big economic and stock market implication. Those three sectors, consumer health and technology, they're seeing such increased overlap in services, and that's driven by demand and productivity gains, and obviously seeing a number of regional multinational companies operating in these three sectors. And it's also seeing more opportunities come to the market as well. We're seeing newly listed companies such as an e-commerce company here that provides end-to-end commerce enablement solutions to all these different businesses. There's a creative studio we listed that creates content for various platforms, and of course a medical tech company which is focusing on the development of cell enrichment systems. So these are examples of these multi-sector stocks that we're seeing form in the Singapore market. So I guess it's a little bit elongated, and I apologise for that, but what I'm trying to point out is we do have the traditional cyclical sectors, we do have the traditional defensive sectors. For the first six sessions of this year, we've seen some cyclicality and interest in the cyclical sectors return, but longer term, we're also seeing new opportunities with these sectors seeing more overlap in their services, and that should provide some more long-term impetus to grow our market beyond 2019.
Good stuff. Thanks so much. That was Jeff Howie, market strategist for Singapore Exchange, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.